The Diamondbacks take 2 of 3 against the Colorado Rockies at Coors Field, finishing a road trip with a 2-4 record and a 6-7 record on the season overall. We'll talk about some of the things the Diamondbacks did good in that Rockies series, some of the things that are concerning that have come out of that Rockies series, as well as set things up for a future preview of the Cardinals series on today's episode of the Snakes on the Diamond podcast. Alrighty, hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Snakes on the Diamond podcast. I am your podcast host, Mike McDermott. I write for the Diamondbacks on Fan Nation's Inside Diamondbacks, credentialed with over 40 different regular season games for the Diamondbacks across 3 different seasons. So it's just going to be me today on the podcast, just talking about what happened in that Rockies series and what we should expect moving forward. And as we do that, make sure to hit that subscribe button, leave a like, turn on the bell for notifications, and leave a comment down below if you think the Diamondbacks have found their mojo against the Rockies, or if it's just a mirage with 5 of their 6 wins coming against a team projected to finish last place in the National League West. Let us know. So, first topic of the day, we're going to talk about the things that the Diamondbacks did right. The starting pitching, despite having to go with Tommy Henry for 2 of the 6 games, you also had Ryan Nelson, Brandon Pfaadt in that Braves series. Diamondbacks rotation acquitted themselves pretty well in the road trip. They did not have a start less than 5 innings in either the Braves or the Rockies series. And for the most part, I think that Henry has earned the right to keep the rotation spot until Eduardo Rodriguez comes off the injured list later this month. So looking at series as a whole, the Diamondbacks got 5 innings, 3 runs off Gallen in game 1. Merrill Kelly stepping up in game 2, 6 innings, 2 runs. And in game 3, Tommy Henry, 3 runs, 2 earned in 5. So looking at the starting rotation, obviously the problem for the D-backs was the big innings in terms of pitch count, not necessarily in terms of runs. The Diamondbacks did a pretty good job of keeping the Rockies off the scoreboard. The 3-game series at Coors, they allowed just 12 runs, which is actually a pretty good total for a 3-game series in that ballpark, even when accounting for how good the Rockies may or may not be this year. So obviously the main concern I would look at with the long innings is the Diamondbacks are not playing good defense. Simply put, not playing good defense. It was bad defense on the road trip, Atlanta series. There was some balls left, some balls not cleanly picked up, some outs left on the field, extra bases taken. This is a little sloppy defense, and that's something they're going to have to clean up as they go into the year, especially when you have an inexperienced rotation of guys who aren't necessarily as battle-tested with Henry and Nelson compared to Pfaadt, who did start in the postseason against some pretty tough teams. But the main problem, obviously, your defensive miscues are coming at shortstop. The Diamondbacks' shortstop depth on the 40-man roster is completely decimated by injuries. They entered the season basically, on March 26th, they had 3 healthy shortstops on the 40-man roster between Perdomo, Lawler, Blaze. But now, they have a lot of problems at the position. Blaze hasn't been able to pick up the ball at shortstop. It seems like he's making 1 misplay a night, and it seems to be affecting the team on that regards. And you got Newman, who isn't necessarily a rangy shortstop, even though he's consistent. The range isn't necessarily quite there. He's more of a backup reserve infielder type of play, but he's kind of forced to play more innings because of Blaze's inability to hold the fort down. And then, of course, we're also seeing Jace Peterson get some innings at shortstop because of Alexander's struggles with the glove. Now, the good news for Blaze is he is hitting the ball very well. That's going to buy him opportunities to get in the lineup, especially against lefties. And Diamondbacks are starting with 9 left-handed pitchers in their first 14 games, so that's a pretty clear runway in terms of being able to face pitchers that he already has the matchup advantage against as a hitter. Now they need to figure out what they got to do with Blaze defensively. I mean, if it's a case of a fielding slump, that's one thing. If it's a case of The game is too fast. He's kind of relegated almost to a DH role. Maybe they move him around the infield, make him not think about playing shortstop. That's another idea I guess they could have. There's a lot of ideas on the table that they can explore possibly when they get back to Chase Field, and they'll have a little bit more familiarity with how the field plays. I think that's a thing. Like Alexander, obviously the errors, the bad track, misplaying baseballs in both Truist Park and Coors Field. It's just, I guess, maybe not familiar with how the ball plays in different ballparks. So you hope that's what's causing these problems. Because if that's the case, I think that's the thing that gets fixed as he gets more experience. Now, also in the Rocky series, there was some sloppy defense from Eugenio Suarez at third base that extended some innings. I know that was the case with Kelly. Misplays from the Diamondbacks in that sixth inning ended up stretching what should have been a quick inning. You get Kelly back in the dugout at around 80 pitches. He would have been able to pitch a seventh inning. Fortunately, didn't come back to bite him. But because of the plays not made in the field, it pretty much cut his start there. And that's, I think that also affected Tommy Henry in the third game of the series. Offensively, I think they found something in the final game of the series. They entered the seventh inning of that game close and late. So we're talking with the Diamondbacks either the D-backs either ahead by one, tie game, or trailing by one with the batter, or trailing with the tying run on base at the plate or in the on-deck circle. That's what Baseball Reference defines as close and late. So I'm going to kind of just share that. Kind of share that how we get there on Baseball Reference. We'll pull it up here. It's from the Baseball Reference homepage. So once we get to there, the first step is figuring out. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to the Diamondbacks, obviously. They're not 4-7, they're 6-7. So what we like to do is go to the batting. And this thing would stop scrolling. So, all right, so batting, go to batting splits. And then what we're going to look for is clutch stats. All right, here we go. You can see the Diamondbacks, when it matters, just have not put the bat in the ball they need to. And, of course, the tie game thing is skewed by the fact that they're entering the first inning of a tie game. So, two splits we want to see here. Two outs. The main thing, obviously, is late and close. They've had nine such games. Entering play today, hitting 0-67 and slugging 0-83. They're just simply not hitting the baseball, despite the fact that they've had walks in about a fifth of their plate appearances. Now, of course, the numbers are going to look much better because they went from hitting 4-60 to 7-70. I think we'll have to double check on the game score, but basically, three hits close and late. Ketel Marte's leadoff single in the seventh, and then Gurriel driving it, and then Gurriel driving in a run with a double to left center that scored Carroll. That tied the game at 3. Then you look at the ninth inning, a pair of walks opened up the frame. Marte leadoff walk, and then Christian Walker, two out walk. And then Suarez taking a breaking ball and kind of like chipping it down the left field line for what ended up being a 2-run double. So you can call that, I guess, a good sign. The fact that they were able to get something done in that regards. Something that's going to have to improve throughout the season. If it's a situation where they can't hit after the sixth inning, there's going to be problems because the bullpen isn't necessarily a strong unit. Instead, although they did hold it together in their two wins against the Rockies, 7 innings of scoreless baseball in that ballpark is noteworthy. Noteworthy and should be commended when it happens. So figuring out the late and close thing, hitting with two outs and runners in scoring position, those are the two things that have to improve with this team. More or less, that's where they have to go from there. That's the main area they got to improve. Tighten up on defense. I guess you can say relax and let the game come to them in the big situations. Just get the bat on the ball and hope for the best. So put together good bats in that situation. And I think eventually, like I said, if they keep putting the ball in play, obviously they're not going to hit 0.67 over the course of the year. It's going to regress closer to the league average of balls in play, which is the 290 to 300 range every year. Because for the most part, they've done a good job of setting up those late opportunities. They're just not getting the hits, or at least they weren't getting the hits before the final Rockies series. We'll see what happens when they face the Cubs and the Cardinals. Like I said, those two teams will be a big test for the Diamondbacks hitting down the stretch. Because they'll be most likely watching them in the wild card standings, assuming the teams play to their potential. Diamondbacks obviously will have a stronger rotation in a couple weeks with Montgomery coming back, Eduardo Rodriguez throwing bullpen. Although it's still unclear when he's going to be doing rehab starts and starting to ramp up back into starting. I would assume no later than the end of the month. I mean, no earlier than the end of the month, I should say. End of April will be when Rodriguez comes back and be the Diamondbacks rotation a little bit more stable. And getting more length out of their starters, I think, will help the bullpen in general. They're getting three fewer outs a game. That's less pressure on them. And if the offense can get it done late, that's less pressure on the bullpen. Those things all go hand in hand. But anyways, that's pretty much all I have to say about this one. Like I said, the next video that's going to come out will be the Cardinals series recap. Wes and I will talk about that series, probably discuss the Paul Goldschmidt trade now that there's a little bit more finality to it. We're 5 years removed from that. And kind of preview what the Cardinals did in their offseason and how they've if they've improved enough to push themselves into the wild card race coming off a last place finish in 2022.